Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Yo, remember yo. Back on the bully when cats used to harmonize, yeah. Like...
Yo.
Yo. Yo. My men and my women, don't forget about the dean. This is not the most the king, yo. About a thing, yo.
Feel
yo.
Real good when your hands in the air. And let two shots in the atmosphere.
Looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to bend the man?
Yeah.
You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then, and you probably can. Talking out your neck, then you're a Christian. A Muslim sleeping with the gin. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass. Thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a 10, baby girl. Respect is just a minimum.
Minimum.
You still defending them now. Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Now I sit inside your head like a million women in Philly pen. It's silly when girls sell their souls because of sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails up out to men. Come again.
Black power, black power, black power. How is my family doing tonight? Obviously, you tuned in because you know what we're already discussing. Standards and what they mean to us and when and where did we lose them. I got a couple of questions for my family out there who's listening tonight, but we'll get with those in a minute after I give my little diatribe on what I see on an everyday basis that is quite disturbing. I'm a firm believer in how you feel on the inside will manifest itself on the outside. So therefore, if you're feeling sloppy, if you're feeling lazy, if you're feeling depressed or whatever the case may be, it's going to manifest itself on the outside. That being said, if you're feeling good, if you're feeling jovial, if you're feeling like black power, if you're feeling like revolution, if you're feeling like love, that's going to manifest itself on the outside also. So, that said, I'm trying to figure out why I'm seeing a lot of our young brothers in skinny jeans. This is disturbing to me. It's disturbing to me to see black men in skinny jeans. It's disturbing to me to see black men in fashion scarves and almost wearing pearls, merces or man purses. It's disturbing to see arched eyebrows on men, painted fingernails, now or later colored sneakers or gym shoes or tennis shoes, depending on what part of the country you're from. You know what I'm talking about, like Air Force Ones and things of that nature. It's disheartening. There's nothing revolutionary about a man wearing skinny jeans, as Brother Sean Quali said before. There's nothing revolutionary about a man wearing a scarf. There's nothing, and I'm not talking about a bandana. I'm talking about a scarf, like a Liz Claiborne scarf, or I don't know what they're called, those scarves that they wrap around, the black and white scarves that they wrap around their necks. It's really disturbing. It's really disheartening. Young ladies, it's sad to see. When I was coming up in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, I graduated from high school in 95. This was during the era of TLC and things of that nature, groups of that nature. And though we were dressing like boys with the loud, bright, cross-colored, you know, clothes, you know, baggy jeans, big oversized shirts and that and things like that, it's still, we were still covered up. Although we were a little tomboyish, we were still covered up. It is alarming, because I used to be a substitute teacher in Baltimore County Public Schools. It is alarming when you see 12-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 13-year-olds with jeans so tight, it's nothing left to the imagination. You see everything. It's alarming when you see these same 11, 12, 13-year-old little girls with their breasts hanging out. First of all, why do they have breasts like that anyway, 11, 12, 13? That's a whole nother show and a whole nother topic. But it's alarming when you see their breasts hanging out of their shirts. It's alarming when you see little girls who are dressed more provocative than their own mothers. I don't know where we got off thinking Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne was the poster children for fashion, but family, that is where we are at right now. By no means am I sitting up here stating to anyone who is listening that we, me and you, we set the standards for what a revolutionary is supposed to look like. We come in all shapes, sizes. We come in all shades of color. We come with straight hair, natural hair. We come with weave. We come with it all. That's not what I'm saying. But when is too much, too much? When is it just too much? When our little boys are looking like little girls and our little girls are looking like streetwalkers. It's very serious out here. And like I said, how you feel on the inside, I believe, directly manifests itself on the outside. I have a couple of questions for the listening audience. What are we teaching our children? That's the first question. If you got to write it down, go ahead and write it down. But what are we teaching our children? What are we teaching our daughters? What are we teaching? What are we giving them to aspire to? One of the things that I always make reference to when I was coming up, I came up during the Different World, Bill Cosby era. And when I went to college, I wanted to be like Whitley Gilbert until I understood what Whitley Gilbert actually stood for. But Whitley Gilbert was always dressed. She was always, for the most part, 99% of the time, she was always covered up. You know, like I said, when I got to college, finally I turned into a Freddy. But that being said, I wanted to be like Whitley Gilbert. That was my standard of what a woman should dress like, and also what my mother dressed like. That was the standard. My mother never went out in provocative clothes or scantily clad. She always was fully covered. And she looked sexy, she looked beautiful, and what she had on, but it wasn't to the point where it wasn't anything left to the imagination. So I want to ask the listening audience, what are we teaching our baby? Are we teaching our baby? Are we letting the YouTube, the TV, teach our children what the standards are? Ever since we came here, ever since we unloaded, undocked off them boats, or got snatched off them boats, or whatever the case may be, we always set our own standards of beauty and what fashion is in our community. I don't know how many people read the autobiography of Malcolm X, but it states in there that in his neighborhood, they had their own standard of what looking good is. Even if it is loud, bright, Cab Calloway looking suits, didn't matter. That was their standard of what decency or what looking good was. And granted, they were fully clothed. I'm asking you, where did we lose our standards? Why are we not setting the standards anymore? Why are we following along with the status quo and what the YouTube tells us the fashion is? Because we see skateboarders and these punk rockers and these alternative bands wearing skinny jeans. It's now cool for us to wear them. Is that what we're saying? Is that what we're saying? Because it always, I was always under the impression that we were the trailblazers, the standard setters. We set the standards when it came to fashion. The industry followed what we were doing. It was never the other way around. So I have to ask people who are listening, where did we go wrong? When did we lose our grip? When did we let up? So those are a couple of questions. Another thing I've noticed, and I've made mention of this on many a shows, when did we start getting tattoos all over our body and wearing thongs and low-rise jeans on our big buttocks to show off those tattoos? When did we say that was okay? When did we say that everybody in the world needed to see tattoos where only your man is supposed to see these tattoos? And why do you have a tattoo in the first place? Now, maybe I'm a little hard on women with tattoos. You have to give me a call, raise your hand, press 1. And the number here is 646-478-44. I'm going to give you the right number, excuse me. It's going to be 478-4447. If I'm wrong, let me know, you know. But I always thought getting tattoos was a behavior that was given to us by dirty white po' trash. These crackers, these bikers, these people who've been in prison. This is a prison culture. And before that, when white people crawled out of the Caucasus Mountains and they came down to Kemet and they saw these blue-black, green-black, melanin-enriched, melanin-concentrated, black people, they wanted to look just like them. The sun loved them. Mother Nature loved them. The universe loved them. Earth loved them. Everything just kissed these people's skin. They wanted that. They didn't have it. They had transparent skin, blood-ridden skin. You could see their veins. You could see everything in their skin. It was just transparent. So they would go back up to Europe, and they would take ink. And they would mutilate their bodies with this ink. This was never who we were before 1989, 1988. You would have never seen a black woman, unless she had been in prison, with a tattoo. But now it's become part of the norm with Tweety Bird and Bugs Bunny and all other kind of roses and panthers tattooed on unmentionable spots. So like I said, I'm wondering, when did we start getting tattoos on our bodies? And like I said, wearing low-rise jeans with thongs and stuff that people shouldn't see. These tattoos are in places where people shouldn't see. Mind you, I need y'all to take notes because I want some questions. I want some answers when I get finished on my little tangent. How can we reclaim who we are? Have we gone so far that we can't reclaim who we are? Like I said before, we used to be the trendsetters. We used to be the trailblazers when it came to fashion. Can we ever reclaim our glory and our greatness and who we are and stop following these degenerate, nasty, low-down, dirty beasts into destruction? And when I say destruction, if you look at long-term effects of tattoos, wearing tight jeans, wearing stiletto heels, you'll see why this is really not beneficial to the black woman, how this can really ruin your insides, how you can get hepatitis C, how you can actually die from some of these things. You're trying to imitate this white woman. You think this is beauty. This is not beauty. This is whoredom. And this is not who you're supposed to be. This is not who you're supposed to emulate. The white woman is supposed to always emulate and copy her who you are, not the other way around. So once again, can we ever, ever reclaim who we are, our greatness, and be the trailblazers, be the trendsetters when it comes to our appearance and what we look like and what we portray to the world, and screw what everybody else thinks of us. What about what we think? I was talking to my mother the other day, and she was saying, actually, was it today or it was yesterday? I can't remember quite. Yeah, we talk so much, all the conversations kind of like merge together. But she was saying that when she has a car, but one day she rode the bus downtown just to go to downtown Dayton Days, where they have like 70% off. Every store has like 70-80% off all their merchandise. So she went downtown, and when she went downtown, she said, and these are her words, my mother is 52 years old. She said, I saw these hooligans on the street corner, and their pants was hanging down to their butts, their pants was hanging down to their ankles, and I was scared. I was scared. I clenched my purse, and I got on the bus, and I prayed to God they weren't getting on the same bus. So it's not just white people who are scared of some of these people. It's some of our own people that are scared. And my mother was raised in the west side of Dayton, which is predominantly black. Well, actually, when she was coming up, it was all black. So that being said, some of our own are scared of our youngsters. What do we do to tighten that up? Is my mom wrong for feeling that way? I know when I roll through the hood, I don't lock my doors. When I roll through the hood, I don't clench my purse. I'm cool. I'm in my environment. I mean, I don't feel like my people are going to do anything to me. I don't have that innate fear of my people. I don't think my mother has that innate fear of her people. She just did not feel comfortable around what the media, Channel 7, Channel 2, and all these local news medias have told her about her youngsters down there. Like I said, family, help me out. I don't know who's wrong, who's right. Am I wrong for even bringing this to anybody's attention? Because it's kind of like, who cares what we're dressed like? As long as we're putting black nation building and black power and pan-Africanism first, who gives a damn who has what hair and who has what pants hanging down and who's wearing skinny jeans, who's scantily clad? Does this even matter in the grand scheme of things when it comes right down to it? I think it does. Because like I said, how you feel on the inside manifests itself on the outside. So if you have any questions, like I said, it's 646-478-4447. Another thing, I want to get back on this tattoo thing because I was just having to, believe it or not, and I hope he listens to the show. Before I called into the show to get the show started, I was talking to our brother, our comrade, our people's champ, King Samir, Brother King Samir Shabazz. And I was telling him how proud I am of him and how this last video at Miss Sylvia's, it brought tears to my eyes. And like I said, I was just really, really proud of the brother. And, you know, he does not bend. He does not bow. He does not beg for crumbs. This brother really is the people's champ. And I was telling him, I was like, brother, but you bet not ever. And I hope he doesn't get mad at me. And if he does, I know I'm going to get a phone call. But I told him, you bet not ever get another tattoo on your face. You bet not ever mutilate your face like that again. He's like, sis, I got to get one more. And I'm not going to tell y'all what that is just in case he gets it. I'm going to let it be a surprise to the world. But he was just like, sis, I got to get one more. It's just pressing me. I got to get it. And I'm like, nah, brother, you can't keep mutilating your face like that. He's like, it's not mutilation, you know. And I know that a lot of tribes in Africa, you know, after, like I said, after we had met up with these crackers and started participating in some of their degenerate behaviors, we started tattooing ourselves and mutilating ourselves and doing ungodly things to ourselves, like female circumcision and all other kind of ungodly things. Even male circumcision, I feel like this. If a male is born with an extra flap of skin, leave it alone. Nobody needs to go through getting anything torn or cut or burnt off of them, period. You was born with it, so therefore you were supposed to have it. It's called evolution. That being said, you know, I know a lot of tribes have adopted this practice of tattooing and putting all kind of tribal marks on them. Is that really an African tradition, or is that something that we started doing after our encounter with the cracker? I need some answers. I need people to call in, like I said, and give me some answers. I got a phone call, 515-779. You're on the air. 515-779. Hello.
I didn't hit number one. I don't know what happened.
Yes, you did, sis. You know, it's a little hand with a little red arrow going up.
I'm asking Jamaica. I'm like, babe, did you hit number one?
Hey, Sister Tamara. Hey, Brother Jamaica. How are y'all?
We're fine.
That's good. Okay, well, I'll put you back on mute if y'all ain't got nothing to say.
But I have tattoos. I have them where...
I know it, man. You talked about it, remember?
I have them where my man can only see them. So...
That's right.
But Jamaica, he has a lot of tattoos. And I'll let him go ahead with that.
Yeah, Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Black Power, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So, yeah, I'm sitting here listening to you beat me up on these tattoos. there's always mixed reviews on the history of where tattoos come from. And
mm-hmm.
me personally, I use my
mm-hmm.
tattoos as self-expression. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have a tattoo of a Black Panther with an American flag hanging out of his mouth. And I have Black Power tattooed on me. I think when you do or have a tattoo, I think it's just based on self-expression. And as long as you are not putting something that on you that is ignorant, that doesn't mean have any type of meaning to it, then
mm-hmm.
I think the tattoo is frivolous. But besides that, you know, I think it's just a self type of I think it's just
expression.
Something that one puts on themselves just to express himself.
Well, can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That being said, I need to ask you this. And what better person to get it from than a person who actually has the tattoos? Could you have written it down in a book to remember what it is that you were trying to express yourself? Could you have painted a picture? Could you have gotten it on a T-shirt? Could you have, you know, marketed whatever it is you got on your body? Could you have made money off of that instead of marking up your temple? Let me ask you a question. Would you go over to Kemet and take some can of paint or some spray cans and go over there and defecate our ancient tomb?
No, but you know what, sis? But if you look inside of our ancient tombs, they have particular markings in them that mean something. That would be like
in them, in them,
they,
not on them, in them.
In them, and so that, or if you look at the stone that's carved. You know, they manipulated stone to have our beautiful black faces in them so we would know where they come from. I put it like this. When the cracker sees me walking by and he sees the Black Power tattooed on me, he knows what I stand
mm-hmm.
for. When the young
mm-hmm.
brother or the young sister looks at my tattoos and they see that Black Panther on me with that American flag, they know what I stand for. So, like I said, it's just a self-expression. Yes, I could wear, I could put it on a T-shirt. I have many T-shirts that say many different things, but I can't wear that T-shirt every day. But I'm in my body every day, and
mm-hmm.
when I display those tattoos, that's what you see. So, understand.
Okay, well,
our brother King Samir, you know, I understand the meaning behind the tattoo. Like I said, I think if you have a meaning behind it, I think it's okay.
Uh-huh.
But I think if you're putting a Tweety Bird on you or something frivolous like a heart or a rose or something on you, I think, you know, it just doesn't have any meaning.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. I don't have any tattoos. I have two piercings in each ear, and that's it. And sometimes I question myself, like, oh, my God, I got two piercings in each ear. I should just only have one. But I don't have any tattoos because
the piercings, that's self-mutilation itself. That you pierce, you change, you alter your body.
Exactly. It is self-mutilation. You're right. You're right. And I'm not taking that away from you. You're absolutely correct. My first piercing came when I was a little girl before I had any say-so, my first hole. My second hole came when me and my cousin, we wanted to be grown, and we wanted to be like, you know, whatever video chick we saw on BET and get like 3-4 holes. I stopped at the second hole because I was old enough to remember how painful that was, so I just stopped. I don't like pain. I don't like it at all. So, but as far as tattoos, something so permanent, these holes can close up. Them tattoos never go away. Now, like I said, me and King Samir were talking, and that is my brother. That's my comrade. I love him to life. I don't love him to death. I love that brother to life. And I'm telling you, if I'm saying something wrong, if I'm lying, the brother will call in and read me.
Yes.
Read me. Okay? So it is what it is. But I was telling him, look, brother, your face is made exactly the way it's supposed to be made. Who are you?
Right.
You were born, you were put on this earth exactly how you were supposed to be put on this earth. You were born with nothing more, nothing less to accomplish what it is that you agreed to accomplish when you got here on earth. Who are you to say, Creator, hey, you made a mistake on me. Let me go ahead and mark up this holy tomb you gave me.
Well, look at it this way. Did you see the black man and the black woman as God?
Yes.
So if you're God, then who are you not to say that if you decide to change something on yourself, what makes that wrong?
See, I was trying to hit you with the Nation of Islam point of view, but I guess that's...
I know you are. I get grief from the Nation of Islam. You know,
yeah, I do too.
I'm a brother that's formerly from a temple, but still follows the teachings of the temple. But I have dreadlocks. I have tattoos.
You have elevated.
So,
you've moved on. Yes.
Right. So I'm already sticking out like a sore thumb. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I understand what you're saying, but I have to get one more tattoo, sister. You know what I got to get?
Oh, my God, you sound just like Brother Samir.
Yeah.
What tattoo do you have to get?
I just got to get a white man hanging from a tree, from a noose.
That's basically the same thing that brother was telling me that he has to get tattooed on his... Look, brother, and you know what? I'm not going to even debate that with y'all because y'all are so revolutionary with it that y'all are willing to put a permanent marking on your body. Sister Amira, as beautiful as that sister is, and I'm about to put her business on blast because everybody can see it anytime you go to her page. She has black power written around her collarbone. Black is on one collarbone. Oh, and it's like the most beautiful penmanship. And not too many people could carry that out. And it's really, really pretty. It doesn't look ghetto. It doesn't look nasty. It doesn't look whatever. It looks really nice. Like I said, you can go to her page and look it through her pictures and you'll see it. However...
Well, Go ahead. Basically, what happened, I got my first tattoo being lost. it's a tattoo of a cross. But I got it, I'm going to get it covered up with an ankh and an Egyptian goddess. So that's... Sometimes you do get tattoos not having knowledge of self, and when you get it, it's like, damn, I didn't know that. But me, myself too, I have piercings, and I get grief from that too. But you know what I'm saying?
But just, you know what I told you about your piercing. What did I tell you about your piercing?
Basically, you were saying it don't look bad on me or anything, but I love them. I love them.
I mean, they are actually pretty on you. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying that you executed well how you have piercings in your lip, you have piercing in your nose, and a piercing in your eyebrow, and you executed well. It doesn't look overpowering. It doesn't look like... It doesn't look ghetto. It looks very, very feminine, and it looks very pretty, and it looks clean. You know, that's my thing. A lot of these tattoos women are getting, they're getting these quarter sleeves, half sleeves, full sleeves on their arm. They're getting tattoos on their back, on their buttocks, on their stomach. Understand, ladies, when you're getting tattoos on your stomach, you are putting ink in a most sacred place. Around one of the most sacred areas of your body. That is where your womb is, right there by your pelvic area. What are you doing? You don't do that. That, to me, that breaks my heart every time I see a woman who has tattoos around there. And like I said, what we do on the outside and what we think, what we eat, everything affects the kind of children we bring into this world. That is foreign ink into your bloodstream now. Where is that foreign ink going? Hello?
Yes. Yes. Well, hey. But...
Where is it going? Is it going to your liver? Is it going to your kidneys? Is it going to your brain? Where is that foreign ink going?
From my understanding, it doesn't go nowhere past the third layer of your skin. But that's from my understanding. I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
Who told you that?
Actually, traveled any further.
Okay.
So I was told that by the brother that put the tattoo. There's not any type of anything I've read in a book or anything. So that's to my knowledge. That's where it goes. It could go further. I'm not sure. I don't.
Well, if you look at it like this, if you look at what relaxer can do to a Coca-Cola can or a Pepsi can. I'm only left to imagine what foreign ink that is created by the cracker, I can only imagine what that's doing to your body. The relaxer literally eats your scalp. For all those women who have relaxers, please don't get offended. I know how sensitive sisters are about their hair. I love you, sister, and just because you might not be natural or whatever, that really... really has no bearing on how much of a revolutionary, if, like I said, if you don't have natural hair, that has no bearing on how much of a revolutionary you are or not. I mean, we can just look at Sister Aisha's segment, you know, I don't know who can get more realer than that. You know, so that being said, these are foreign substances that we're putting in our body and putting on our body. I wonder where they're going. If lotion goes someplace, if Vaseline goes someplace, if baby oil goes someplace, if water can penetrate your skin, if everything can penetrate your skin and go into your body, where the hell is that ink going? Where the hell is that no lie or that lie relaxer going?
I think it's frying your brain. I think so. Relaxer is frying your brain, for real. I mean,
absolutely, it's frying your brain.
And we all know that rye is made of pork substance. So if we are told not to eat the swine or the pig,
what
why
is
would
that
you
ink made out of? That's okay. Like I said, sister, what did I tell you when we were talking about your tattoos and your piercings? I said, once we know better, we do better.
Yeah,
I got piercings.
I still have to get that one covered up. I have to get it covered up. I just didn't want to cover.
How about you just
anything.
Get it removed? How about you just get it removed?
Well,
listen, we got a phone call. Well, I'm gonna keep y'all two on the line because y'all two are so cute. Look, I'm gonna keep y'all two on the line while I take a phone call from 314-327. You on the air?
Black power queen, how you gonna put me out there like that?
Hey, Sister Amira.
How you gonna put me out there like that? You know?
I mean, the tattoo is very pretty. I had to put you out there like that. It's pretty.
That's just wrong. I just called to say you were wrong, sister.
No,
sister.
If anybody goes to your Facebook page and sees you, especially when you have those black hand glove thingies that you had on and some black shirt or whatever, and you can see the black power going across your collarbones, that is one of the most profound, beautiful, surreal pictures I've ever seen from anybody. So I think it's beautiful. Do I agree with it? Of course not. But do I think it's pretty, and do I think that you can execute it and rock it well? Yes. Does it look dirty? No. I think it looks good on you. I wouldn't have got it done to me, but it looks good on you.
But y'all see how, I just want all the viewers to see how Sister Pasami does her sister. That's all I'm calling today. I just want everybody to see.
Brother Jamaica, it's Sister Kamari.
Awful.
You see this, right?
But I definitely, Sister, I want to congratulate you on the radio show. I am very, very, very proud of you, though. I want you to keep up
Thank
the good
you.
Work. And my training that I gave you pays off. That's all I want to say. Just, you know, give me my
Girl, go ahead, pat yourself on the back.
Exactly. And
Honey, pat yourself on the back because it's been a lot of work, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. I'm going to walk away gracefully. I just want to let everybody know this was my fish. This was my recruit.
That's right.
So I'm going to get off
That's
the phone.
Right.
Black power, everybody. Black power.
Black power, and I love you, sis.
I love you, too.
All right, sis. All right, can y'all stay on the line now? Y'all see how people doing me, right? Because I'm attacking their little, they tattoos, and I'm not really attacking my family. I'm about to get to you, 213. Just hold tight. I'm about to get to you. But I'm not attacking the people. I'm attacking what are our standards? Because like I said, before 89, 88, we never seen tattoos on women. So I'm just trying to figure out, when did we think that this was okay? Because this was part of the prison culture, just like sagging the pants was part of the prison culture. That's the only question. And then, like I said, we're gonna come up with some solutions tonight. 213-748, you're on the line.
Black Power Hotel.
Black Power Hotel, brother. Who is this?
Brother Big Stern. How y'all doing?
How you doing, Big Stern?
I hear y'all talking about tattoos. Are y'all talking against tattoos?
I'm not talking against them. I'm just asking when did we implement this into our culture?
This was
never historically part of our culture.
Oh, yeah, we did the body painting and this stuff and things of that nature, but I don't know about the tattoos myself, but... Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in, just to let y'all know I'm in the place to be, whatever, and let y'all know that I'm loving what y'all doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, and I'm loving what you're doing too, bruh. And thank you for all your support.
No doubt, no doubt.
All right, bruh, you take care. All right, y'all still on the line with me?
Yeah, we're still on the line.
All right. I guess I lost my other caller.
You haven't ran me off yet, sister.
All right. So since y'all called and weighed in, and since I'm keeping y'all on the line, let's go to the first question. What are we teaching our children? The number came back. Let me go ahead and get this. 314-915, you on the line?
Peace and Black Power. This is Brother Son Nubian. How is the family?
Hey, Brother Son Nubian. How are you?
Hey, I'm Blacktastic, sis. Thanks for asking.
That's good. This brother who's on the line right now is Brother Jamaica, who I was telling you about.
Oh, peace, brother.
Oh, peace, Brother Black Power.
Black Power. All right. Yeah, I think we're friends on Facebook. Yeah, I know who
yes.
he is.
Okay. Yes.
I just want to... weigh in a little bit. I won't take too much time on the tattoo situation.
Help
you know,
yourself. We've got an hour and 20
right.
minutes, brother. Take your time.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, the skin is the biggest organ on the body. It's a major part of the integumentary system. And so when you're putting stuff on your skin absorbs it, and it goes beneath way beneath the surface. And so, yeah, and then, so that gets into your bloodstream, and it causes all kinds of complications later on in life. So we got to understand, so if the things that we cannot put in our bodies, we should not put it on the outside, man. You know what I'm saying? That's just my thing. I don't have any, and I don't knock anybody that does. See, I'm an artist. I like art, but my art goes on canvas, not on my body. But I don't knock the people that do.
Well, where is it going? Let me ask you a question, because I asked the sister and wife, the husband and wife duo on the phone, where is it going? Let me ask you, since you're saying it's the biggest, our skin is the largest organ in our body and on our body, and that is the truth. Where is that ink going?
Well, it is. If you look at the skin, the layers of the skin, it absorbs in the top layer, and it goes into your capillaries. Yeah, it goes into your capillaries, which is connected.
And that's the bloodstream, correct?
In your bloodstream, exactly. So
okay, and Sister Thema in the chat room is saying anything that goes in your bloodstream must pass through the liver. So obviously, this stuff is going to go to your liver.
Right, the liver is your filter. It filters all that garbage that's in your blood. It's filtered through your liver. And so what happens is foreign agents like that are in your body. It could cause cirrhosis of the liver. It can cause all kinds of problems, man. And so we really got to be mindful of that. Because that's what that ink is. It's a foreign agent. It's something the cells in your body sees it as something alien. So when what it does is like putting gunk in your car engine. So you know when your liver is filtering the blood, it all that stuff is clogged up there. All that stuff, these agents inside the ink, and it causes all kinds of problems, cirrhosis or all kinds of problems, man. So.
And she's saying also, I mean, Sister Thema, you need to call in. She's saying if your liver does not recognize the substance, it will store it. It will store it in the liver, and it can cause diabetes. That means it will attack your pancreas.
Exactly. What it does, it lowers your insulin count in your pancreas. It lowers it. So, yeah, it will become inactive. And yeah, so then you got to go through the whole process of getting artificial insulin and all that stuff. So that's just one of the things. There are many other things, and I have something in my notes, but I can't find it. But
so I have to ask this while you're looking for that in your notes. I have to ask the viewing or the listening audience: is self-expression worth sticking yourself three? See, my grandmother, who passed away in 2008, April 6, 2008. Four, six, eight. I'll never, ever, ever, as long as I live, forget it. Who passed away, she was diagnosed with diabetes the year I was born. So she had diabetes for 30 years before she transcended. Now, I used to watch my grandmother. She used to roll her R insulin or the N insulin, I can't remember which one, in the morning, warming it up, getting her body temperature while she's listening to the radio and the coffee is perking and the bacon is frying. You know, and then she used to have to find some place in her body, on her stomach or in her leg or wherever to poke herself. Then she would have to poke herself 2-3 times a day to take her blood sugar. Then she would have to poke herself at night with the other insulin to make sure she is leveled off while she sleeps so she won't fall into a coma. So my thing is, self-expression really worth this? Losing ligaments?
Yeah. You know what, since I understand what you're saying, but with all due respect, I've never seen any scientific evidence of anybody gaining diabetes from getting tattoos.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever looked it up?
No, ma'am, but it's so many people.
Okay, well, if you've never looked it up, if you have never asked the question, you won't find the answer.
Right, but there's so many individuals with them, you would think that it would make a big enough dent in society to where that
of course
would,
not.
You know,
of course not.
I mean,
of course not. We're the biggest meat consumers in the world. Okay, that's number one. With all the diseases that are associated with meat and all the ailments that are associated with meat, you would think that we would chill out. We're the biggest liquor consumers in the world. You would think
with all the death-related, you know, things that comes with liquor, we would stop. We are the biggest consumer of illegal or illicit narcotics. You would think with all the things that come with that, it would make a dent in that system. Of course not. We're gluttons. We're gluttons for that. And then furthermore, when it comes to that, you have to ask yourself, just like you liked the video that I had put up on Facebook of King Samir talking about anything that the cracker likes or anything that the cracker is for, you as a black man or black woman have to be against. Well, let's look at it. If you really do your history and you really, really, really look not just at what's going on tribally now after we have already encountered the cracker and the tattooing and the body paint and stuff like that, but if you go back to its historical origins of where, you know, tattooing really, really originated from, you will understand or over, inner, and outer stand that tattooing is historically a, and I'm not trying to make this whole show about tattooing, we're going to get on other subjects, but I'm just saying that you will see that this is historically a cracker practice. And so, therefore, since they are for that, and everything before 90, 89, and 88 was always crackers and bikers and people who've been in prison getting these tattoos, if they are for that, then obviously we must be against that. That's where I'm coming from, Brother Jamaica.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I understand exactly what you're saying. I was always under the impression that tattooing and piercing and self-mutilation came from the African origin, but I have to do some more studies on that before I can really speak intelligently on it. So I'm going to do my
research.
Fine. I'll get back to you on that.
That's fine, and that's right and exact. Do you want me to go ahead and keep you all on the line, or do you want me to go ahead and just mute your line?
Oh, you can go ahead and mute us, sis. Black power.
Okay. Black power, brother and sister. Wait 1 second. That's that 515. All right, Brother Sun Nubian, you got the line. What's up? Did you find what you was looking for?
No, not yet. I'm still looking through my notes. You know, the tattoo thing, I know that there are, in modern day, I know that the tattoo thing, I know tribes over there in Africa, they do it, because I was looking at that a few months back. But I'm not sure where it originated. I'm not sure where it originated, but, you know, that's just something, you know, I got to get my... going to do my homework on that one there, but I'm not sure where it is. But, you know, they do it now today, but I'm not sure that they, you know, if we were doing it before coming in contact with Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's the big thing. Yeah,
I can guarantee you, because I've done my research, and my thing is I don't want anybody to take what I say for law. I want each
right.
and every person to challenge me and be like, nah, I'm about to prove Sister Fasami wrong, because that makes for good conversation, good debate, and like I said, when we all come together at a table and we give each other's information to each other, we all go away and walk away from that table with a collective intelligence. So therefore, I want somebody to challenge me, and I want somebody to be like, nah, sister, let me tell you, back in Kemet in 2536 BCE, you know what I'm saying, such and such and such and such got it. Okay, then I can go and look that up. Give me some empirical evidence from what I have researched, this historically, and when I say historically, I mean our history, not their history, our history. This is not historically this is not something we historically do. So that being said, I am going to keep you on the line while I take a number, take a call from 601-540. You're on the air.
Hotel sister.
Hey, Brother Pianchi. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine.
We got your brother Reborn African Warrior in the chat room. What's good?
Oh, nothing much. You know what I'm saying. Y'all talking about, like, tattoos and stuff?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, you know, I ain't no scholar on the subject, but from what I know is, like, it's sort of like a relationship of degree. Like, I hear a lot of brothers and sisters talking about, you know, in Africa and stuff, but from what I, you know, I'm not challenging nobody, and I'm not, you know, telling nobody that this is based on evidence that I got from me right now, because I'm somewhere, you know, not near a computer or anything right now. But from what
mm-hmm.
I see, out from what I see in Africa, it was just like just certain little, you know, markings that they put on their body for identification and certain little piercings. But with the European and Asians and Native Americans, it was just much more extreme. They the ones who made it more extreme because, like, when you look at, you know, African, so-called traditional African tattoos, you're talking about, like, just a little small, you know, somewhat unnoticeable marking. But when you look at European, you talking about, you know, tattoos every damn where. So
yes.
I think it mostly, as far as the degree of it, as far as what we have today, it has, as in the African community, that started with, from what I see it, with Europeans and Mexican gangs and stuff.
And you know what, brother, I would have to 100% concur with you. Where it started becoming acceptable to us is with the whole gang culture. And when we started going to prison and really, really assimilating and getting into the whole gang, prison culture, just like I said, with the sagging pants,
yeah.
We can go back to the plantation, but let's not even go back that far to the plantation and the white boy beating your ass because you're wearing your pants like a man on your waist. Let's not even talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that only faggots and homosexuals in prison sag their pants to inform other inmates that you're ready to be entered in the backside, and that's the reason why you got your pants sagging. It comes from a prison culture. And us on the outside being ignorant to what's going on in the inside, we've assimilated to that bull crap. And that's not of us. That's not who we are. I mean, if you look back, if you look at the pictures post-slavery, black men have always wore their pants on their waist.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And if you weren't in the military, if you weren't in prison, if you weren't part of a biker gang or a biker organization, you did not have tattoos. That was just something we did not do and we did not accept. Now, you, brother, I've already made mention to everybody who listens to the show, you're 17. You're part of this younger generation.
Yeah.
I'm almost twice your age. But what I want to ask you, what's up with this skinny jean bullcrap?
Shoot, as far as I want to, you know what I'm saying, I always thought, I remember when I first, like, my ninth grade year, our whole thing was sagging. You know, not mine,
yes.
But I'm talking about collectively as a generation. Sagging was in style. That was
right.
Our whole thing. But and everybody who wore skinny jeans, that was like the preppy boys who want to, you know what I'm saying, say that we ain't gangsta and we ain't with the whole hood thing. We be more on some, you know, preppy type funds worth Bentley type stuff. So we always
right.
Looked down upon it. And then when I moved here, you know, because in ninth grade I was at, you know, inner city black school. But when I moved here in the suburbs, I started seeing more brothers, you know, wearing it. And, you know, in my situation was, oh, they just, you know, hang around a lot of white people. And then when these punk-ass new boys came out, everybody who was throwing up gang signs, claiming gangs and stuff, you see them with tight shirts and skinny jeans and funny-looking shoes. So you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? My whole thing, that started white people. And I'm not speaking from no rhetoric. I'm speaking from historical fact. Because when you look at the whole punk rock culture, that's all they
that's
wear,
right.
Skinny jeans. Even the skinniest
right.
wear skinny jeans. And they racist.
That's right. That's right. And I appreciate you enlightening us on that. And let me ask you a question. As a young brother, when you see sisters who are scantily clad, they have all their unmentionables being mentioned, what do you think, what's your first thought that comes across your mind when you see this young sister? And I'm just being real because, I mean, you're at the height of your sexual activity right now because men reach their peak at 18. So you're 17. My thing is, what do you think? Well, for cracking men, I guess it reaches the 18. So we're just going to go with their logic and their theory for argument's sake tonight. What do you think when you see a young girl or a young lady or anybody, even an older woman, dressed like that? What's the first thought that comes across your brain?
sister, I don't want to be no disrespect for nobody. When I see a woman dressed anywhere, you know, scantily or with half clothes, my first thing about it is that she's horse or she's fast. She out there. She been with some men before. That's what I
exactly.
think. That's me personally.
If you can get some cut up, basically, right?
Right.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. Well, Brother Tianchi, as always, it's a pleasure. You stay on the line, okay? I'm going to go ahead and mute your phone, but you go ahead and keep your hand up because I'm going to go ahead and open your mic, so be careful what you're doing in the background, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and mute your mic. 1 second. All right, 314-540. Is this Sister Thema?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Sister Thema, how are you?
I am fantastic. I got a little excited when we started talking about those tattoos. I'm like, oh, you know, my hand wasn't up until that came up.
What's going on? What's good with it?
Well, this is what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that the liver recognizes natural substances.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit that's been picked when it's ripe, or vegetables, all of those, when it's been picked at harvest, the chemicals and everything are easily recognized by the liver. That's
right.
When you're supposed to eat it. The liver knows what to do with it, knows how to disperse it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So because your body was given everything that it needs in order to heal sickness, you know, we age faster. We're not supposed to age faster. Well, with that said, I was going to say tattoos, even if it was done in African culture, I'm pretty sure that they used natural substances that the body could recognize when they did those tattoos. I'm pretty sure they did.
Well, they didn't have any foreign substances.
Okay.
You
require chemicals and processing, right?
And that's the cracker MO, not ours.
Okay, so what's in that ink that you get at the tattoo shop?
I thought it had some swine in it. I'm not quite sure.
See, we don't know.
I could be mistaken. We don't know.
We don't know. So my point is, if you don't know and you're not sure what's in that, you probably should not be injecting that anywhere on your skin or in your body.
That's right. And just like Brother Sun Nubian was saying, your skin is the largest organ on your body.
Organ. Correct. Yes.
So therefore, just like my mom, I hope I'm not offending anybody when I say this, but my mother is super high yellow, and she always said she didn't want a high yellow baby. That's why she got, as she says, a brown sugar. Because high yellow babies pick up anything out the sky.
Right.
They get eczema, you know, all kind of rashes, and you're forever in the dermatologist's office. So
right.
when we're saying this, it's real. Your skin picks up stuff. Anything foreign in your environment, it picks it up.
Right.
You know. So, yeah, I agree with you, Brother Sun Nubian.
Yes, I'm on the line.
Okay, did you find that the art, whatever it was you was looking for through your notes, because you and Sister Thema are on the same page?
Well, I found something here about the ancient Egyptians, and that's as far as I can go back.
Okay.
1500 BC, what they did was they would use the coloring from plants. And they would paint their faces. And so, so it was like different colors represent, you know, they were like it's like a spiritual thing that they did. It's a ritual. So different colors
right.
that they will paint their bodies with, different parts of their bodies, they represent what part of the body that it will heal. Like they would get, like for example, they would get orange. Orange is for the lung and the pancreas. Or they'll paint part of their body blue. Well, that's for the glands and the kidneys. You know, so they use natural things from the environment to put on their bodies, is what I'm reading here. And if anybody wants to look at it, they can go to www.
Put it in the chat room, brother.
All right, I'll put it in there. And so
yeah, and go ahead and say it, but www.blackherbal, what?
Black Herbals, that's blackherbals.com. And it's about mm-hmm. skin healing. And they got a biochemistry of black skin. And there are two layers of skin here. They got the little diagram here. And two layers of skin. It's the epidermis, and it has and the outer layer and the inner layer. So the epidermis, which is the outer layer, contains no nerves, blood vessels, and it contains melanin pigments, which determine your skin color. And so what it does, it absorbs that ink into the epidermis and down into your glands. And you can look at it right here when you go online, into your glands, and it's down to your hair follicles. So it gets into your hair follicles, and it blocks that. And then your blood vessels take those chemicals in the ink and carry it throughout parts of your body. So that's what it does.
Wow.
That's what they use. They use different colors here. You have red for they use red for blood cleansers. They use yellow for digestion and purification. Purple for the nerves. Green for the liver and the heart. You see, mm-hmm. black for melanin. So melanated people really understand the science of melanin and how important it is in the pigmentation of our skin. So I don't think, that's something, so whoever's saying that, that we did it, prior to coming in contact with Europeans, that this evidence here.
It's not true. We did not.
Right.
And I don't think anybody on this show has said that. What I think a lot of people have said is that it is for self-expression, but the self-expression, I believe in self-expression. I really do. I mean,
right.
Today I was freaking everybody out because I have my afro blown out, and I have a lot of hair on my head, and I have a big-ass head. So that being said, it stands out, and I believe in, real big, bold things, just to freaking fucking crack his head up. Just if I ain't got nothing else better to do, let me fuck his head up by wearing my big ass afro out here and just to irritate his ass, But that being said, that's self-expression. Self-expression is, wearing something like, the white Jesus with white power going across it.
Right.
That causes conversation. That will fuck somebody up. That's shaking their core, their foundation. But when it comes to something so serious, when it comes to our appearance, when did we accept their culture as our norm? When did we accept their culture as our mores, as what they deem as taboo? We don't deem as we deem as taboo also when we didn't deem as taboo. For example, animal sacrifice. We would sacrifice the hell out of an animal because we're not in love with them and we're not fucking them like that. So therefore, we'll sacrifice them for whatever ritual we're doing, and there's a whole reason why behind that, whether you agree with it or whether you don't agree with it. That's your business. But this is what people have done since the beginning of time. Now, let me ask you a question. Since I have both of y'all on the line, when we have these tattoos and when we see these tattoos on people or whatever, what are we teaching our children?
I think we should teach our children about what they were originally for. Our ancients did this for, it's a ritual that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's now we're doing it for fashion and we're using ink. So faith,
to make it permanent.
Yeah, to make it permanent, So, we were already beautiful people. We were always beautiful people of color. But, we had colorless people coming in, and so they admired everything that we did. And so they wanted to make it permanent, So that
right.
would be my hypothetical guess there, But, here's the evidence right here. So that's what the people use it for. This is prior to a Greek ever stepping a foot into Africa. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I just
want to
let both of you know that both of you guys, who are probably, I know y'all in the Midwest,
And I know y'all starved from some kind of culture out there. I'm from Ohio, so trust me.
Yeah.
I know y'all starved from culture. Y'all two are in the same city.
Yeah.
I just wanted to let y'all know that. And y'all need to go ahead and link up. I ain't trying to play matchmaker or nothing. And I know this show. Oh, y'all know each other? Y'all need to go ahead and link up and go ahead and make it happen out there and you know where. I'm just going to leave it at that because y'all probably don't want people to know where y'all at. But y'all need to go ahead and make it happen, all right? Because I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm just saying get some culture, breathe some life. I went to grad school out there. So I know how little white and bland it is out there until you get down to that riverfront.
Racist.
Yes. Yeah, and it's even still bland unless it's, you know, the baseball or the football or whatever the case is. It's still bland. So please, you know, go ahead and link up and do whatever it is that y'all do. But why I'm going to keep y'all on the line because I respect and I love both of y'all opinion and everything like that. And, okay, people.
Those are facts I just put in there. Just for the record.
Mm-hmm. Those are facts. Where were you at?
That reference I gave you. Yeah, that was a reference I gave you. It wasn't my opinion. That was a reference. I did give an opinion,
okay,
though, but I also gave a reference
okay
to what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now let's get back to what else we were talking about. I mean, when do we set our own standards? Again, we used to set our standards all the time. When do we start to reclaim or reclaim those standards? You know, when do we start getting back to who we are? I need solutions. We got 54 minutes before this show was, oh, actually 53 minutes, and I need some solutions. I'm going to tell you some of my solutions before y'all get started. Some of my solutions is this. First of all, as I always say, almost on each and every show, Brother Sun Nubian, what do I always say on each show when I talk about solutions? Oh, did I put you on the spot?
No, I was reading something. Go ahead. Ask me the question.
I said, Brother, what do I say when I talk about solutions? What is the first thing I usually always attack when it comes to solutions? Yeah, I caught you off guard. Turning off the TV.
Oh, yeah.
Turning off the TV. When we were the most profound is when we only had the radio. We didn't have a TV to tell lies to our vision. When we were the most profound is when we only had MTV. And when just when Video Soul came about. You know, and your MTV Raps. That's when we was the most profound, when we weren't that represented in the media. And we're still not represented. Don't get it twisted, people. Don't get too happy. You know what I'm saying? Don't start beating your chest like you're actually represented in this Jew television media. You're not, you know. And if you are, it's in a derogatory or degrading fashion. But when we weren't represented at all is when we had the most standards and when we set our own standards of what beauty is and what fashion is and what looks good and what doesn't look good. And we have the whole world jocking us. We have the whole world copying us. We have the whole world wanting to look and be us. Now we have switched. And now we want to be like them because we let the TV raise our baby. So, people, if you want to reclaim who you truly are, turn that goddamn TV off. It is okay. I understand you might spend $168 to $200 a month for this goddamn YouTube. Honestly, turn it off. It will not help your children. It will only hinder your children. It will not make your children feel better about themselves. It will only implement and set in self-hatred of who they are. Turn that goddamn TV off. That's the first thing. second thing, stop buying your clothes. Start making your own shit. Start getting patterns or in your own, what is it called, sewing machine. And start making your own shit. Whether you go to the Drop Squad, www.thedropsquad.com, whether you go there and go to Dashiki Women's Store, or whether you start buying your own stuff, start rocking your own African clothes. And even if you don't rock African clothes, buy your own, make your own clothes. If you don't want to make your own clothes, I've always been taught my clothes don't make me, I make my clothes. I don't care if I get them on sale 80-90% off. I don't care if I get them at Walmart. I don't care if I get them at NY Company. I don't care if I get them at Saks Fifth Avenue. The bottom line is my clothes do not make Fasani. I make my own clothes. I make my clothes. So start implementing that spirit in your children, in yourself. You know, these are some of the solutions that I have. Stop copying after these white people. You following them straight into the belly of hell. You sitting up here following these people into pure destruction, following after these people thinking that their way of life, their fashion. Sisters, if you knew what stiletto heels did to your womb, your ovaries, your uterus, your insides, you would never, ever wear a stiletto. And you know, I wear high heels. Don't get me wrong. You know, when I have to. But this is not a daily thing. And some of these sisters will not be caught dead without some stilettos or some heels. If you understand the kind of electric force or surge you're sending through your womb, your uterus, when you wear these stilettos and heels, you would never, ever wear these shoes ever again. Sister Fema, do you know anything about that?
Yes, I sure hate it. Because I love my stilettos, but I'm working. Yeah, sure, but I'm working on it, you know.
Yeah,
they just, when I put on heels, they make my legs look, you know, they just make me look and feel sexy. But I'm working on it. I have bought some sandals, you know, and some flatter shoes.
You don't have to even buy sandals, but, I mean, do they have to be 4, 3, 4, 5 inches? They can just be regular pumps, regular heels.
Yeah, they could, yeah. They
well,
could.
Let me ask you a question. What science do you have about stilettos?
Well, I haven't really studied it, but I know how I feel after I've been in the club with them on all night.
Yes.
It's very painful. Oh, yeah,
yes.
I do know that. I do know that every now and then I do have some 5-inch heels. And I'm pretty tall. I'm tall.
Mm-hmm.
But I do
How
know I
you?
Have some. I'm almost 5'11".
Oh, you are tall. You're taller than me. Wow, you're tall. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm.
Have
I,
you
noticed
most? And no, I'm not gonna say that because Sister
Nina,
she's
no,
listening. No, Sister Nina's listening. And I don't want to offend anybody who may be up under 5'6". But,
okay.
Yeah, being tall is a good thing. Go ahead.
I love, yeah, I absolutely
yeah.
love it. But I do know that every now and then, if I have on, like, the 5-inch heels, you are not only in danger of hurting your body, but you can step in a crack. You
yes.
know what I'm saying? They're harder to
you
walk
break
on.
Your ankle.
You could break your ankle. You could cause permanent damage that way, you know. And I have sprained my ankle back in the day
yes.
when we had those buffalo sandals. Yes, I
yes.
have done that.
This is something very sadistic that was made up by some kind of weird-ass white boy to put
yes.
women in shoes like this that it's almost impossible for you to walk
yeah.
in.
Mm-hmm.
If you can
I'm
do that,
so
if you can, well, no, sis, no, and you shouldn't be. And this has nothing. What I'm about to say now, this has nothing to do with you. If you can wear those 5-6 inch heels and work the pole with it, hey, big ups.
I'm proud of you. I'm glad you can do that. I'm good, hey, those are skills. Those are skills. Not marketable skills, but they're skills. You know?
True.
But this is not practical, people. This is not practical in your everyday life. This is not practical in fighting a battle wearing 6-inch stilettos.
Right.
You can ask the girl from my hometown of Dayton, Ohio. Yes, she did take somebody's eye out with the stilettos. Maybe they're good for that. But as long as they're not your own brother, because that's what she did. She hit a brother in the eye, a black sister. She hit a brother in the eye with her stiletto. Mm.
Oh,
yeah. That broad. Yeah. Anyway, so like I'm saying, they might be good for that reason when it's perpetrated towards a cracker, but not your own people. But those are the only things stilettos are really good for. It's a lethal weapon.
Well,
I don't see where you can actually fight in those shoes.
Are you seeing what Brother Sanuvian put in the chat room about the coins and the hammer toe?
Yes. And you know
what? I really don't want that. I don't want that, coins and hammer toe. I really don't.
And that's why my feet, and I'm not trying to be funny, but that's why my feet have, my mom took good care of my feet when I was little. She used to put me in those hard-ass heel, those hard-sole white shoes. And
right.
then she used to take me to scooters or some kind of rollers or something. I can't remember the name of it. And she used to spend buku money on making sure the arch of my foot grew and grew correctly and making sure that my foot grew correctly. And that's why I've never really had problems with my feet. And that's
right.
the reason why they're not ashy and they're not ugly and whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you keep wearing them stilettos. You keep wearing them wedges. You keep thinking you're going to fight a battle in those things. Go ahead,
you're
sis.
Not.
You're
right,
not.
Right.
This is wartime. Let's be practical. Wear a thong so everybody can see it in your low-rise jeans. This is, you're not going to fight a battle in that. It's not a good look. Let's be practical in our solutions. Right. Let's be practical in our solutions. Cover your children up. Why? Okay, wait a minute. Sis, I got to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
With all the fucking pedophiles,
mm-hmm.
running around here, if you go and plug your address into familywatchdog.com, you'll see that bitch light up like a Christmas tree, like the 4th of
right.
July. And you got your children out here half-dressed? Honestly, people, let's get it together. Your daughter knows how to make her ass clap before she knows how to say ABCs or her 1, 2, 3s, honestly. Your son knows how to get behind you and gyrate his pelvic bone like he is that maestro on the goddamn plantation before he understands, you know, how to take care of a family. What a real woman is about. What a queen is about. People, honestly, these are simple things that we can do. These are simple solutions we have to make our community better. Stop defacing your temple. So, I mean, a lot of us was raised in a Christian household, and even though we might not subscribe to Christianity anymore, we still would not go to a church and deface it. We just wouldn't do it.
Right.
I'm sorry. And whether, like I said, whether we agree with Christianity or not, this is just something we would not do because we don't do things like that. So why would we do it to our body?
Right.
That's where the real church is held.
Well, you know, here's something else, if you don't mind me saying.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our problem is we're integrated. We've integrated into their society. We desire their stuff because we think their stuff is the better stuff. That's how they can dictate to us through their TV, through their radio, through their advertising. It's because we're integrated. I think the biggest thing we can do for our families and our children is to segregate.
Tammy, y'all hear that? Just say that one more game. Say that one more time.
We need to segregate, not integrate.
Mm-hmm.
Free.
Separate from them.
Uh-huh.
Public schools already do a number. Public school. I mean, public. That says it right there. What public does that represent? Them. It represents them. That's why our young men are wearing skinny jeans and they're sagging. That's because we're integrated. If we would separate and teach separately and use separate media, stay away from theirs, then they would have more pride in themselves. We would. We would have more pride in ourselves because we would know
who
we are.
Well, let me ask you a question. Who's going to come up with something, the Black YouTube? Anybody out there who's listening, come up with the Black YouTube so we can have our own media or come up with your own. Listen, how about we actually contribute to Lady Iset and, as a matter of fact, that's her trying to call me. I guess she doesn't realize that I'm on the air right now. But let's actually contribute to Lady Iset and Sister Ancient Consciousness, their community fund. And let's actually start our own network, our own airwaves, our own towers. You see what I'm saying? These are solutions that we can come up with where we don't have to worry about what our children are being taught.
Right.
What they're seeing. I mean, everything that you see on TV now has some kind of sexual or homosexual or integrationist kind of innuendo. Eat everything that you see, every single thing that you see on TV, if you really, really pay attention to it, has something degenerate and filthy about it.
Right.
You know, so really, people, this is a wake-up call. Our children don't respect themselves. First of all, let's get it right. Let's back up. Our children don't respect us. You know why, family?
Right.
They don't respect themselves. You know the reason why they don't respect themselves? Because they have no reason to. You have given them no reason to respect themselves. And I'm not talking about my listening audience. I understand I'm preaching to the choir right now. I'm just hoping some of y'all will get this to some of y'all deadhead friends and let them listen to it. You know what I mean? I'm talking about they have given them no reason to respect themselves, so therefore, of course, they're not going to respect you and what you got to say. Hell, they got the goddamn drawers showing. They got the damn titties showing. And you think they got respect for you? You know, you ain't told them nothing. You haven't loved them back to life. You haven't guided them. You have let the TV raise them. You have let the school and the teachers raise and teach your children what morals are. You have let them feed your children because your ass ain't going to feed them any kind of vegan meal when they come home. So that being said, don't sit up here and ask, well, why are our children? Well, they ran amok because we haven't done anything. It's time for us to grab that little youngster up off the street corner, look them, and I mean grab them by their goddamn collar. You look them in the face, eye to eye, nose to nose. You tell them you love them, and you tell them that you expect nothing but the best from them. You tell them to pull up their goddamn pants. You tell them to cover themselves up. You start mentoring them, whether they're your child or not. It doesn't matter. They're all of our children. Every child is my child. My child is everyone who's listening, child. Period. And you treat them as such. That's my solution to the problem. I don't know the fathers. Y'all need to stay in the household, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how stressful it gets, no matter what kind of pressure is put on you, you stay in the household so your daughters don't have to go out looking for validity from any other man other than her daddy. She didn't have to hold herself around because she got her daddy. Her daddy loves her. Her daddy validates her. Her daddy tells her she's pretty. You stay in the household so your son can see what a real man is supposed to be like, and so he can see what how a real man is supposed to treat a real woman. It sounds simple because it is simple.
That's right.
I don't know. I think, you know what, and I've always said this, I think humans have a tendency of complicating a real simple concepts just for fuck's sake, just to make their life more soap opera-ish, just to complicate their lives a little bit more. It's not that serious. You know? And do not blame your children for running amok. It's not their fault. It's not their fault that they don't have any morals. It's not their fault that they have no moral compass or they can't discern what's right from wrong and they've lost all goddamn common sense. It's your fault. Look in the mirror. It's your fault. That's whose fault it is. Do you know how quickly Sister Thema and Brother Sanubian, how quickly it took for me to get control of a class, even though I was a substitute teacher in one of the roughest cities in America? Do you know how quickly it took me to get control of a class on the first day? About 10 to 15 minutes, if that. We got another call, 718. I'm going to get to you in 1 second. But it took me approximately 10 to 15 minutes to get control of an inner, well, not, it wasn't really an inner city. Baltimore County, Baltimore City, it's pretty much the same thing. A lot of the city students with re-gentrification or gentrification, they ship a lot of students out to the suburbs. So the same students that are in the city are the same students that are in the suburbs or the county. It's not really the suburbs, it's the county. So I had to deal with these students, and it took me about 10 to 15 minutes. I would pick the most livest one, the one who's the most popular. Usually, unlike when I was coming up, the most popular kids were the kids that were on a kind of sports team, cheerleading or band or something, and they had to keep their GPA up to a certain level, and they dressed well, their hair was always done. Those were the kids that were most popular at my school. Now, the dirtiest, ugliest, stupidest, dumbest one, and I know people are like, Sister Fasama, don't call kids dumb. Okay, well, let me ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Where do dumb adults come from?
Okay.
So my thing is, some of these kids, and it's not their fault that they're dumb. It's just, you know, nobody has taught them. You know, and with some of these dumb adults, nobody taught them through their whole life. So you got to be patient with them, you know. But that being said, you know, you have to deal with it. So you would take that most popular child and you will make an example out of them. And every child after that will follow suit. They'll be like, oh, she ain't playing. Why are you so mean? Okay, after you get over that, now it's time for business. If I'm here to teach you, if my job is, I'm supposed to be here to teach you, right? Yes. All right. And you're here to learn, right? Right. Why are we having a problem? And once you get that established, you have no more problem with these children. Once you get that, and once that child who was the problem child comes back into the classroom after speaking to the principal, once you get them underway and get them settled down, you have full and complete control of the classroom. It's not that hard to get control of your children. You just have to demand respect and not be scared of them.
Right.
They're our offsprings. They are what we made. Before that crack could get a hold of them and channel that energy, you better get a hold of them and channel that energy and channel that energy the proper and productive way. I think I'm through preaching for a minute. 718, I'm about to get to you right now. 718-510, you on the line.
How you doing, sister?
How you doing, brother? Who is this?
This is Isaac Mendez from State of Mentel.
Hey, brother. What's new been doing?
Hey, how you doing? I spoke to him early. He said he probably have to take care of something. I don't know if he's listening to the show or not right now, but
okay.
I'm,
what's up, my friend? What's up? How are you?
Oh, how are you?
I'm absolutely blackerific.
I'm good. There's another thing.
What's
that
good?
I want.
You want to chime in on this?
Yeah, and another thing that our people need to do also, as far as us, mm-hmm. and also we got to teach the youth, we have to start to change our diet. That's another thing. Because a lot of
yes.
the food that we're eating, sometimes that causes them to act out too.
Yes.
You know, a lot of the chemicals they put in the food, and nobody cooks anymore. They eat McDonald's, Wendy's, Burger King all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Big Mama ain't Big Mama no more, and she's not teaching you how to deworm your children. I don't know
mm-hmm.
how many of y'all grandmother used to give y'all some kind of nasty-ass castor oil or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
And it would clean the worms out of your system. And then, yo, it was the most god-awful tasting thing in the world, but you didn't have worms and you're weighing you down.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
I said it cleaned out everything.
It cleaned out
castor oil.
It cleaned
are
out.
With, are y'all familiar with Dr. Sabi?
Yes, yeah. Dr. Sabi down there in Honduras, yes.
Yeah, his diet is really the most consistent diet with our people because we have a hard combination of carbon. And being that we have
mm-hmm.
a hard combination of carbon, we can't eat like these other people. Because that's
mm-hmm.
why they're able to, Caucasian and everybody else, they're able to digest foods more than we could. We're supposed
mm-hmm.
to be consuming more foods with more of an alkaline diet.
Yes.
So, I've been studying Dr. Sabi. Well, actually, I'm a cook myself, and I've been practicing making
mm-hmm.
like pancakes out of a grain called spelt, cumin flour,
mm-hmm.
sea moss, different things like that I've been trying.
Well, let me tell you something. I need for you to find out how you can make a seaweed kale wrap that has avocado in it, tomato, onion. It has these things that taste like bacon bits, but they're not bacon bits, with olive oil, and it could be either a green.
Kale wrap, you
said? It could be a kale wrap with, like, the green tortilla-looking shell, or it could be, like, a seaweed-looking shell. But I want that when I come
wow.
to New York. Okay, let me tell
right.
you, it was this it's this brother who was a comrade in this organization who, my God, he will have you gnawing off your paw. This kale wrap was so good. It had kale,
oh,
like
wow.
I said, it had kale, tomato, onion, avocado, and something that tasted like bacon bits and some hummus. I believe it was hummus that was the white stuff in there because I know it wasn't sour cream or mayonnaise. I think it was
coming. Wow. Okay.
Oh, it was so good. And like I said, you can either wrap it up with the seaweed or you can wrap it up with the green looking tortilla shell. Delicious.
Right.
And it looks like a burrito. And it's just as hearty and thick. And you know how kale makes you chew and chew when it's raw and you just keep chewing and chewing and chewing?
Mm-hmm.
You get so full off of this daggone burrito looking thingy.
Oh,
ask
wow.
the Samira, she knows, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't made that yet, but I've been trying like the pancakes, I've been drinking the sea moss and different things. I've been studying Dr. Sabi's diet because I thought when I learned nutrition before that I found out just about most of it's wrong. That's their way of teaching.
Because
mm-hmm. how
mm-hmm.
about how somebody's gonna give you a full guide pyramid and they never built a pyramid? And almost
right.
everything on that pyramid is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It needs to be upside down how they had it, right?
Well, they got starch is the most thing. They got meat, starch, fruit.
And that needs to be the less.
Starch is really one of the problems because Dr. Sabi explained that's why a lot of people get rheumatoid arthritis. A lot of diseases come from all that stuff turns into sugar throughout the years.
And then
yeah.
up under that starch on the original pyramid was meat. That needs to be right below, right above starch. Like,
mm-hmm.
okay, starch and meat needs to be the least amount of stuff that you consume. Fruits, vegetables, and grains, and nuts, and stuff like that needs to be the most. And
right.
water. People, if you don't do anything else, if you eat pork, if you do whatever you do,
mm-hmm.
flush it out with alkaline water. Flush it out.
Right. Oh, yeah,
and if you don't care about your diet, care about your baby's diet. Just because you think
up.
You ain't going to be shit, don't mean you ain't got to set your children off right.
Mm-hmm. And even with some of the fruits and vegetables, a lot of the stuff is genetically modified when they take genes from animal organs and they put it in the, some fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Genetically modification.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that some of the stuff that they create in the laboratory with the seedless fruits, you know, things like that.
That's right. That's right. Well, Brother Minjaz, you know, as always, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. I'm about to catch another call. Is there anything else? You can have a last word.
Yeah, and also another thing, sometimes we give our energy too much, you know, to the white man. Like, we always, a lot of times we always worried about what they, what, you know, what they're doing instead of focusing on us. Because we was talking to these people yesterday, and they was talking about, yeah, we got to kill the, you know, kill the crack. We like, what is this going to accomplish, though? They couldn't answer. I mean, you know, all this talking about the war, you know, warring with them. First of all, you don't have a government. And how you expect to, you know, go head-to-head with these people with weapons? You can't win that way.
Well, I can tell you how, what we're expecting to accomplish, even though those brothers or sisters, whoever you were talking to, wasn't able to answer the question. We expect total, utter, adulterated, unmolested freedom. That's what we expect. That's all they recognize. That's all they understand, and that's all they know. Like I have said many times before, and me and Brother Newbin always butt heads on this.
Mm-hmm.
Look, they only understand war because it's what they are. They're war mongers. So we can think our, we can. We can sit up here and try to think our way out of this. We can try to be mentalists out of this. We can try to meditate our way, pray our way, whatever it is that we want to do. We can pray our, and you know what Brother Newbin always say? Man, if I thought really people, black people, was going to pick up guns, I would have been done that shit. Man, y'all ain't going to do shit.
Yeah, we did talk about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I mean, we always, and that's when I'm like, okay, Brother Newbin, I'll call you back. I'll talk to you later. I love you. Talk to you later. And that's when we always get off the phone because I'm not trying to hear that, and he's not trying to hear me. I respect the state of mental. I respect everything that you brothers and sisters are doing because y'all strong and y'all going strong with it. And though y'all may not believe in straight-up violence, y'all not going to let anybody disrespect y'all. I've heard it, and I've witnessed it myself.
Oh, disrespect.
However,
no, we mean we have a right to defend ourselves, but we mean as far as, like, you know, people just want to go around just, you know, shoot random white people and stuff like that.
Why not?
You know,
they shoot random black people. Why not?
Yeah, but, no, I know what you mean, but at the same time, the people that they're shooting, first of all, those are not the people that's oppressing you. Those are people that's just, they in the world just like you. The head people in charge, they're the ones that's not being touched. So,
okay,
know,
well, we got 23 minutes, Brother Sanubian, and what do you have to say? Weigh in on this.
Oh, man. Man, look at first.
First of all, Brother Sanubian, let me say, this is not a Grape Ape. This is not a Grape Ape character, okay, at all. This Brother Minjaz is on point. Mm-hmm. He, you know, but they just have a different philosophy, if I can say that. And you just give him your philosophy.
Well, look, man, what I'm always saying is that we got to get on the defense, you know, because, I mean, when are we going to see enough is enough, you know? I mean, because we know that they are just, you know, somewhere around 10% of the world's population. And, you know, and it's 90% of us, you know. And so, you know, they cannot do it alone, so they need our help to do it. And that's the reason why this system thrives, because, you know, we give in to the system, you know, with full cooperation. That's why why the system thrives as it is. But you know what, man? I just think that, you know, we got to get on the defense, man. We got to say enough is enough, man. One day we just got to stand up and say, you know, and defend our communities, our women and children, man. So enough is enough.
No, it's never about defending the communities. I'm just saying as far as, like, you know, we don't have a government here. You know, they control all the weapons, so I'm saying you can't outdo them in that because, you know, they have the government, the National Guard, so they're the ones that make the guns.
Let me ask you something. This is what I've always asked Brother Newbin, and I'm sorry to interject and interrupt right here. This is what I always ask Brother Newbin. Who controls the media?
The government, too.
No, it's bigger than the government. Who controls the media? The Jews. I'm going to answer that question.
Oh, yeah, the Jews. I'm sorry. Yeah, they do. They do.
That's okay. That's okay. I know you probably was looking for a deep esoteric answer. No. It's just the Jews.
Yeah,
it's really simple.
The radio,
right.
And everything.
They control all that. So they can tell you whatever they want to tell you about whatever military equipment that they have or what they can do to you. But
right.
The bottom line is we have brothers and sisters on the inside just like they have infiltrators on the inside of this.
Okay,
we have operatives too, and I'm not going to get too far in depth on a goddamn radio show about that. All I'm going to say is the same thing they got on their side is the same thing we got on our side, all right? So trust me and believe me, all this shit is perceived power. It's perceived. They really, actually, if black people really woke up, they really don't have any power. It's the power we give these crackers. All right.
Yeah, that's true.
All this shit is fucking perceived, and in any day, the black man takes his throne before your era is out, before it's the queen's opportunity to take our throne and lead this shit. Hopefully y'all will, but if y'all don't, hey, I'll be the first one out there battling. My thing is, until then, they're going to always have this perceived power. We're going to always, we can't beat them out, mass weapons up. Man, shut up. Honestly, brother, anytime you think you're defeated before you go into war, you have already been defeated.
Yeah, that's what my
period.
Post is. That's what my post is.
Right. It's no point of even trying if you already think you've been defeated. But, Brother Mendez, as much as I love you and I adore your spirit, because I really do, I am going to have to put you back on mute and take another call, okay?
Okay.
All right, bruh. All right, 862-252, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Hello?
Hotep.
Hotep, who is this?
Oh, Black Power, beloved. This is Dashaun Farad. I'm a columnist for Experience Reality Magazine. And I'm also
I know exactly who you are, Brother Mills. How
DC
are you?
Fine, beloved. In D.C. chapter of the new Black Panther Party. How are you doing,
good
Queen?
Too.
You
I
and
am
brother,
doing fine.
You and Brother Sun Nubian are doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
Very excellent job.
But you know, this is I kept their lines open, but this is actually Brother Sean Kuali.
Oh, I know. I'm
and,
aware of it. I listen to the show often, but I still had to compliment you for standing in for our brother.
That's right. Thank you, brother. How are you doing today?
I'm fine,
appreciate
dear
that,
queen.
Brother.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. The pleasure is ours to hear it. I'm doing quite well, dear queen. Beloved, I wanted to say briefly, and I don't like being long-winded, but in response to that last caller, with all due respect to the brother, him mentioning us being outnumbered and outgunned, if you study any revolution throughout human history, you will notice that all revolutionaries were outnumbered and outgunned. The American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, the French Revolution, every revolution, the oppressed are always outnumbered, so we have to stop having that defeatist attitude. Secondly, as Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad stated at the Black Holocaust lecture in April of 1994 at Howard University, he said that you have some of us that wish to intellectualize, but if you're speaking about freedom, justice and equality, or freedom and independence, we have to face the harsh reality that some of us are going to have to die. But not only are some of us going to have to die, some of us are going to have to kill as well.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, as the founding fathers of America did, our black shining prince, Malcolm X, had stated that you keep on hollering revolution, but if you knew what revolution was, you would keep your mouth shut. All revolutions are bloody. Okay, we can look at what he quoted. Beloved, you stated something. You said once you feel that you were defeated, you've already lost. Ho Chi Minh had said that to the Vietnamese right before they went to war with France and the United States. He said, once you feel that you've already been defeated, you've already been lost. And that's when he said to his followers, his people, he said, we will fight until the last drop of blood of every man, woman, and child is lost. And that is the mentality that we have to have. However, since we follow the laws of Maat, we have to be very careful that we don't become kamikaze and suicidal, in other words. We have to get into the habit of only dying and killing when it is necessary. Okay, we can't have hotheads being over the revolution. We have to be balanced. We have to be disciplined. We have to, Marcus Garvey and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us general orders. As soldiers, we have to be disciplined. And I'm noticing that there's a lot of lack of discipline in this movement. Okay. My last point, beloved, and I don't like being long with it. You know, I'm an upcoming professor, so I have a habit of
lecturing.
Don't
be long, but be strong. We got about 6 minutes, brother.
Okay.
About 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wrap up with this, dear Queen. The last point that I was going to make, dear sister, is that the problem, you know, a lot of us are saying that we want to have freedom and independence. The problem that African revolutionaries had, Kwame Nkrumah being included, is that, okay, fine, after we overthrow our oppressor, what happens the next day? What do we have to replace what our oppressor has imposed on us? And that was the end of my statement, beloved.
Well, do we have in place? As I've said many times before on this show and the show that I was co-hosting with my brother in the chat room right now, Zulu Sphere.
Yes.
The blueprint has already been laid out for us, and I've said this, and I know those people who are listening are like, oh my God, she's beating a dead horse. Why do I have to hear this again?
Oh, beloved, repetition helps. Repetition helps. Go ahead, Queen. Repetition. We got Amos Wilson,
right.
Movement for Black Power, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Garvey, UNIA. We've had several models. The original Black Panther Party gave us models for independence.
Well, I'm talking about a real in-depth model. And like I said,
Republican New Africa.
Well, the destruction of Black civilization and
yes, ma'am, Dr.
Williams. Dr. Chance. There you go. And he laid it out bullet point by bullet point, step by step.
Beloved,
he
I was
laid
hoping
it
you
out.
Mentioned that book. That's why I tried to draw you into the conversation. I was hoping you would mention Dr.
Okay.
Williams.
Okay, what's up?
No, you go ahead, Queen. You teaching us, beloved.
Well, I'm just saying that you want to draw me into that conversation. I'm just saying that he's already laid it out there for us. We don't have to look. I know Black people don't like to think that much anymore. We
talk
like to be
it.
Told what to think.
That's right.
Okay?
Over
I know
years.
That we don't like building great monuments and pyramids and stargazing and finding out astrology and astronomy and all this. We don't like to do that anymore. So we don't have to think because our Baba Williams, Baba Chancellor Williams, he's already put it on point
and
black
beloved,
and
Amos
white
Williams,
for us.
And Amos Wilson, Amos Wilson, and Blueprint for Black
and
Power.
And he's still
well.
Alive, ain't he?
No, beloved, he's been dead for quite a few years.
He has? Why do I keep
and
saying
doctor,
all this
and,
Amos Wilson
and
stuff?
Because of the fact that his books never stop selling, and you still find his lectures on YouTube, but his books are everywhere you go, you see someone reading one of his books. I saw someone today, as a matter of fact. And
okay,
Dr.
See,
Williams
I must
also,
be tripping because I know that Dr. Frances Cress Wilson is still
she's
living.
Alive.
Dr.
Yeah,
because
I see her. I see Dr. Frances Cress Wilson at Howard consistently because, you know, that's where
absolutely.
I'm at. Yes, ma'am. But no,
absolutely.
Dr.
And,
Williams.
Dr. Van Yakinen, he's still living. So
yes, ma'am.
I do apologize for that. But the bottom line is this.
Williams was
we
killed.
Don't have to think. Our ancestors and elders already laid it out there for us. Now we take the best of everything that they said.
Yes, ma'am.
Everything that they said. And we implement that shit. It's no more thinking. It's just now the point of doing. That is the solution right there.
Yes, but now, Queen, when you say we don't have
to.
When you say we don't have to think. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Son. You wanted to speak. Pardon me.
Oh, no, I wasn't saying anything. Go ahead, bro.
I think it was a sister. Sister,
sister
I said
we
Thema?
Need to do.
Yeah,
who
I'm saying exactly. We need to do.
Yes, ma'am.
We're thinking. We're planning. We're going to go to this step. We got to make sure this is in place. How many years have we been doing that? Let's
beloved,
do something now.
Yes, ma'am. But I wanted to ask the assistant, when you said that we don't have to think, are you saying that Black folk should be practicing blind obedience?
Absolutely
no.
not. What I'm saying is Black people, as I said before, I said what I had to say, Black people don't like to think. And since Black people, for the most part, don't like to think, you don't have to. We're making it easy for you. Our ancestors already made it easy for you. You don't have to think.
Now, beloved,
you know
how would you respond then to people who say we suffer from post-traumatic slave syndrome, which actually with similar to what Dr.
That's
Carter
something
Dewitson,
we can deal with after we get our own nation, okay? That's something we can deal with after we get our own therapists and psychologists and psychiatrists.
We do. We have that
our
now.
Own nation.
But don't forget what Dr. Carter G. Woodson says in Miseducation of the Negro. He spoke about how when you program a person, you no longer
when
have
did
to
he
worry
write that
about
book?
You said what, beloved? He,
when did
oh,
he
wrote
that,
that he wrote that book in 1930, 1931, 1932. He was way ahead of his
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. So we're talking about 70, 80 years later. Okay, so like I said, we can talk about all that.
Yes, beloved. But he said that we're programmed. He said we're programmed. Though.
Well, we need to be programmed the right way.
Or reprogrammed.
We need to be programmed the correct African-centered way. My thing is we can deal with all this post-slave traumatic syndrome. We can deal with all this other bullshit after we implement this plan and get our nation. Look, brother Deshaun, let me break it down to you like this, okay?
Okay, dear queen, go
it
ahead.
It is 9:50, August 11th, 2010.
All right.
We don't have much fucking time.
Well, beloved, what I want to know from you is, now, queen, how can we implement that stuff without first being reprogrammed? In other words, if we're gonna, how can we go into the new world with the mentality of our oppressors? Don't we have to be reformed before we can get
that? How do you do that? Could you tell us how we do that?
Oh, beloved, I'm just a student. I don't consider myself to have the solutions, but
you don't know,
One way I would say, as a possible recommendation, okay, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated, he said, "Know thyself, knowledge of self, knowing who we are," and I believe we haven't mastered that first lesson of who the original man is. And as Dr. Sheikh Anta Giap stated in the African Origin of Civilization, when black people see greatness in ourselves, we'll do great things.
So we all need to see something. We need to take care of that first before we start to eliminate the oppressor's hand, is what you're saying. We need to do that first, however long that takes, before we start to take his hand off of our necks, is what you're saying.
Yes. Did you see the report that Anderson Cooper did last night about... The report, Anderson Cooper, yes, concerning black children feeling inferior to white folks and white children feeling superior to black folks. Did you see that report? And he stated that.
Is Anderson Cooper white?
Yes, he's white, but he did a report.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
Okay, what I'm saying, yeah, on
not
CNN.
Not only is Anderson Cooper white, he's also a homosexual.
Okay,
that
has nothing to do with what I'm about to mention. Okay, what I'm about to say is this. He did a report explaining how in many parts of the country they were giving, as Thurgood Marshall did in the 50s when he was trying to desegregate schools, concerning black students and white students being asked the question, which picture do you find to be, who, in other words, who's smart, who's beautiful? White folks and the black students all picked the dumbest person as being the darkest person and the smartest person as being the lightest person. You understand where I'm coming from? So now, nearly 60 years later, our children still have an inferiority complex concerning who we are. So this right here, this programming of black inferiority, this notion of black inferiority, is still being passed down through generations and generations. You still have black people in the conscious movement who are tied up on complexion. You have some of us in the 21st century still saying, "I want my woman to be light-skinned with straight hair," or "I want my man to be."
That means we shouldn't do anything then. That means we shouldn't do anything since we have this going on, right?
No, beloved. I never said that, Dick Queen. What I'm saying is that we should be learning, in my judgment, knowledge of self of who
learning
we are.
Some more. That's okay. Yeah, that's fine. And I wish
I'm
you would have called in at the beginning of the show because we only have like really 2 minutes left.
I'm sorry.
And next Wednesday, please call in at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
But
I'm
telling you is this. No.
I just came in from wreck hearing.
On previous shows, we don't have a moment, a second, a millisecond to waste.
Teach Queen.
Look.
Go ahead.
We have to right now, as we speak, as I am doing, and so many of the people who are in the chat room are doing, they are building a nation. We are closing ranks. If you have been here 500 years, and your ass ain't got it yet. look, I'm going to try to teach you as I go along my path. If you don't get it, I'm sorry, because not everybody is going to make it. I understand the post-traumatic slave syndrome. We all have been subjected to that. Anybody who was black born here in America, we have all been subjected to that. That has nothing to do with the price of tea in China. We have to build a nation immediately. We have to get our arms up. We have to fight. All this psychological babble is good for after we get our nation built. Then we can deal with more than just the post-traumatic slave syndrome. We can deal with, hell, post-war syndrome. building on whatever the case is. We can deal with it all in one walk.
Beloved, did you ever think about getting your own TV show? You bring the fire, beloved, I swear. You come in the tradition.
Thank you.
And Swahili, your name would be In Swahili, your name would be Mutaraya, woman full of fire. You bring the fire, dear sister. You burn in my ears. You know, ouch.
Thank you so much. But listen, I got to close out this show. I love all of your support. I love all of
you for tuning in. We love
Thank
you,
Queen. Thank you so much. Tune in next Wednesday. I think it's going to be Sister's Night. I'm not sure.
I can't tune in? If it's Sister's Night, I can't call.
Oh, everybody can tune in. It's going to be Sister's Night, and then we're going to have Brother's Night. But I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to me. Black Power, Black Love, Black Nation. That's right. www.thedropsquad.com. TheNewBlackPanther.org. Check it out, babe.
Black Power Queen.
Yo, hip hop. Started out in the heart, yo. Not everybody trying to charge, say what, hip hop. Started out in the heart, yo. Not everybody trying to charge. Come on now, baby, come on now, baby, come on now, baby, come on. Come on now, baby, come on now, baby, come on now, baby, come on. Come on, baby, light my fire. Everything you drop is so tired. Music is supposed to inspire. How come we ain't getting no higher? Now tell me your philosophy on exactly what an artist should be. Should they be someone with prosperity? Concept of reality. Now who you know without any flaw?
Who you know without any flaw?
That lives above a spiritual law.
That lives above a spiritual
and
law.
Does anything they feel just because there's always someone there who'll applaud. Yeah.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
Come on.
Everything you drop is so tired.
Everything you drop is so tired.
Music is supposed to inspire.
What are we here for? What are we here for?
How come we ain't getting no higher?
I
know you think that you got it all.
Superstar, since my first album blunted. I used to work at Foot Locker, they fired me in front of it. Oh, I
The frame's lightly tinted. Listen it to your block to have my full name in it. And if your lines sound like mine, I'm taking a percentage. Cause I'm precedented and still respected when it's vintage. I'm serious. I'm taking over areas in Aquarius. Running red lights with my 10,000 chariots. Jesus Christ was a superstar. You stupid star. They hell you, they nail you. No matter who you are, they'll make you now to take you down. Make you face it if you twist the bag open, put your pinky in it and taste it.
Yeah. Come on, baby, light my fire. Everything you drop is so tired.
Everything you drop.
Music is supposed to inspire.
Oh, yeah.
So how come we ain't getting no higher?
No higher.
Come on.